name's Johnny Gould. As we all know, I'm a fancy baseball enthusiast, but like so many aspects of my life, and I'm constantly reminded by this by my lovely girlfriend Lulu, I'm no expert. But thankfully, by my side is a man who's not just a fancy baseball expert, he's a legend, and his name is James Holden. Jimbo, how are you, big guy?
Jonathan, yeah, good to see you as always. I'm really well, although I'm feeling a little bit weary as the season drags on. Only a week and a half to go, but yeah, all good. How are you?
Yeah, I think it's always a long season if your teams have been rubbish. If your teams are flying and you're in contention, then it's, you know, you're full of vim and excitement and energy. But yeah, I mean, other than our side in the Bat Flips and Nerds Invitational, which of course is still flying at the top of the table, despite my attempts to jinx us, yeah, I've had such an awful season. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm exhausted. Mind you, at least my other teams in other sports aren't doing too badly. A certain team in blue looking
rather good. Yeah, I did see Chelsea have started off very, very strongly, haven't they? Yes, Johnny was at the Spurs-Chelsea game at the weekend and he's been crowing quite a lot.
Well, my mate who invited me is a director at Spurs. I don't think he's ever invited me again because I've now been twice and we've won both times. So I am clearly not Johnny the Jinx when it comes to Chelsea's fortunes at the mighty Spurs. So, yeah, commiseration to the mighty Spurs. They've definitely got some problems. Anyway, let's move on swiftly to Glorious Stadium. They've still got the best stadium in the world. If you want to get in touch with us and talk fantasy baseball and anything relative, then do email us on behindhomeplaypod@gmail.com or you can contact us on Twitter. The program handle is @BHP Pod, or if you want to get in touch directly, more than happy to take your direct tweets. My Twitter handle is @JohnnyMGould and Jimbo is @Jam99. And seriously, do get in touch, even if it's just to say, guys, I've been offered this trade. What do you think? That is why we're here. We want you to feel that we're part of your fancy baseball journey. So get in touch utilizing either the email or via Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you, and we'll give you a reference on the show if we possibly can. Well, we've had loads of feedback, Jimbo, on how much everyone enjoyed hearing from Cole. Of course, the winner of our rookie league, our initial first ever rookie league. In fact, we've got one of our listeners, the lovely Jane Wallace, who's been in touch on numerous occasions. She mailed in to say, and I'm going to read this out, I enjoyed this week's podcast and especially listening to the winner of your rookie league, who was so enthusiastic and obviously loves the game so much more now that he's playing fantasy baseball. However, and this is a question from Jane to you, Jimbo, why has your fantasy baseball game already finished when the real games are still going on? And my fantasy league continues until the end of the season. It's a very good question from Jane. Why have we finished prematurely, Jimbo?
I love the way you just slipped that line in there. But so why have we finished prematurely, Jonathan? It's to do with different forms of baseball. So many of us, and many of the leagues that Johnny and I play with, and the one that you're playing in, Jane, is a roto league. So effectively, it is a test of endurance, that a marathon across the length of the season, about who, by the end of the 162 games every team plays, whose fantasy team has amassed the most statistics in a whole range of categories. Traditionally, the, you know, runs, home runs, RBIs, etc., stolen bases, and ERA, whip, strikeouts, etc. However, other leagues, at the end of a set period, head into playoffs. So we've been in a head-to-head league where each week you played off matchups against other teams in the league, and the top eight teams of the league then went into the playoffs and had week-long or sometimes fortnight-long playoff matchups to declare an ultimate winner, and that's how they get on. And many of those leagues, we tend to start the playoffs slightly earlier because, as we're already seeing, the dog days of September, a lot of teams resting starters, resting hitters. I prefer it so that if you're in the playoffs, you can play your best team rather than being frustrated by who's on the bench. So that's why quite a few playoff leagues will already be finished. Others cracking on.
There's one, you know, despite that lengthy response, Jane, I just need you to know there's another reason. It's because James always knows that my team peaks in those last couple of weeks of the season. So he deliberately wanted to ensure that I had no hope in the playoffs as my teams went off the boil, which of course they did, which is another reason why I was so hopeless and was knocked out in the first round of both my head-to-head leagues. I hate head-to-head.
But me too. But more seriously, we will do a whole sort of off-season special, maybe on the different sorts of fantasy baseball that you can get involved in for next year. Maybe for the really nerdy members amongst us, we'll do a special.
Well, I'm proud to be a fantasy baseball nerd. I'm wearing that T-shirt, literally. And that sounds like a great idea for an off-season special. And to all our listeners, please do keep the questions coming in. If you've got any aspect of different types of leagues that you need some guidance on, well, Jimbo is clearly the man. So join us in this nerdy revolution of fantasy baseball. Now, right back to today's show. We've got our first batter, 10 days to go. Definitely time we have probably a final look for this season at the standings and the implications for fantasy baseball as well, and there are some big implications, so do tune in for that. Batter number two is our continued focus on the behind home plate race to 50. Quick reminder, the first to reach 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. Jimbo asked me the question a number of weeks ago, did I think that both would be achieved? I said no, looks like I might be wrong. Batter number three, what a surprise. Batter number three, as always, is this week's suitcase. Some key pickups for the week from the legend that is Mr. James Holden, and of course, a Hail Mary, of course. And I have to say, you've been rather good of late, Jimbo.
Cool.
Awesome. Right, well, better one. What's going on in Major League Baseball? Well, we focused primarily on the American League last week, so I want to chat mainly about the National League this week, if that's all right with you, Jim. And I also want to give you a compliment.
Oh, this is a very unique show, isn't it? This must be a first for the season.
We're one page into the script. I've already talked about my lack of expertise in all things, and I'm now complimenting you, so clearly I'm ill. Seriously, though, we discussed the close nature of the NL wildcard last week, and you said we should all be looking out for the cards. Well, you are the total inverse of Johnny the Jinx, because what's happened since you've referenced the cards, they've gone 11-0. Jimbo, that's their best streak for 20 years. They have basically been beating up on the Mets, on the Padres, on the Reds, on the Brewers. Three of those teams are in the NL wildcard contention with them, and one of them is a divisional leader who's already clinched the title. So now, not only have they got the second wildcard spot, but they have a 4.5 game lead over the Reds and the Phillies, and a 6 game lead over the slumping Padres. I mean, wow, is the only response. What a time to time your run of form.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I have some supernatural talent for predicting the future, or more likely, I think possibly we were underestimating them. And again, we've talked about the importance of getting hot at the right time of the season, whether it's fantasy or real baseball. And St. Louis are absolutely hot, hot, hot.
It's funny. They're not a side I've ever felt a huge warmth for. I don't know why, because I think part of it is that they're a bit irritatingly good at making the postseason. When you look at them and you just think, how? You know, they don't seem to have the team that immediately springs off the page and you go, wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, they're a bit aged. I think they're looking a bit old. And yet you rightly keep pointing out, you know, that they just get the job done. And I have to tip my hand to them. What in your view is driving this St. Louis success?
Well, I'd say, first of all, I think it's natural. As Braves fans, there's a trade we did about 20 years ago where famously we traded a young pitching prospect called Adam Wainwright for a sort of slugging outfielder called J.D. Drew. And that trade has forever, I think, tainted all Braves fans' views of St. Louis. Obviously, they got by far the best of that deal and have had 20 years of Adam Wainwright to enjoy since then. But in terms of this season, I think two things, really. Firstly, what I call sort of turning OAPs into aces. So taking old age pensioners, John Lester, Adam Wainwright, both pitching superbly. John Lester, they picked up at the trade deadline, and they're pitching like this of, you know, 2011 or something rather than 2021. Good bullpen, but the biggest factor, their bats are really, really on form. So Tyler O'Neill in the outfield has been sensational over the past month, and I think he's probably been the best bat in fantasy baseball for the past 2 weeks. And Paul Goldschmidt has really been really strong. Tommy Edman, both those guys also been top 20 fantasy bats in the past month. So that's what's working for St. Louis.
And Paul Goldschmidt, as we both know, is about 60. So that is extraordinary, let alone the fact that he's healthy, let alone swinging a hot bat. Tyler O'Neill, now there's an interesting one, because as many of our listeners know, one of our leagues we actually redrafted at the mid-season break. So we all started with one team and then redrafted a whole new team in the second. And Jimbo, you picked up Tyler O'Neill at pick 216. I checked on this. 216, because it was a snake draft. And as you rightly point out, possibly the hottest bat of them all in the last couple of weeks, but definitely a top 20 bat in the second half of the season. So, Jimbo, I tip my hat. What a great spot. 216.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he'd be that good, but his numbers were good. And actually, there's a really serious point in here because he did have a decent first half, but he has been awesome in the second half of the season. And to me, these are the players that you want to be all over for fantasy baseball next year. There are always players who get really hot in the second half of the season, and I don't think the market adapts enough. I mean, I'm not going to be the only analyst to look at the numbers and see how good he is, but still, I think there's a good chance that O'Neill will be undervalued next season because not enough people are actually on that. You know, there's plenty of people who moved on to fantasy NFL, etc. So yeah, he was a good prospect. He's got loads of talent. It has all come together, and absolutely I would be all over that next season as well.
So from a fantasy perspective, you're saying, as a tip to all fantasy managers, go away and look at the second half numbers and try and look at those prospects who've really started to come on, because there's a good chance they'll be undervalued in drafts at the beginning of next
yes.
season.
Yes, and we will have we will give many, many tips in advance of next season. But yes, that is the kind of player that I think the market probably undervalues to some extent.
Fantastic stuff. Right, well, the other factor, of course, is that the Cincinnati Reds badly timed lack of form. I mean, just when it really mattered, they were getting into real wildcard contention. They've gone 3-7 last 10. And San Diego, continuing disappointment. I mean, 2-8 over the last 10. And let's talk San Diego, because Padres were part of the big conversation at the beginning of the season. Everybody was saying National League West, it's a two-horse race. Are the Padres, have they done enough in terms of the rebuild to take on the monster machine that is the LA Dodgers? And yet, the second half of the season, they haven't been any part of the story at all. It's all been Dodgers-Giants. They sacked the pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, in August. Manager Jace Tingler, definitely in the hot seat. People talking about a player revolution, and they want him out. The farm director was fired yesterday. And of course, we heard about, and in fact was discussed on the Johnny and Josh show, Manny Mercado and Fernando Tatis going at it in the dugout at a recent game. We were all expecting so much more from the Padres. They looked good in the early part of the first half of the season, but what's gone wrong since? What's your take on the disaster that is the San Diego Padres?
It's very hard to put your finger on it, to be honest. And I think it's even harder because so many of their games are played so late at night that we don't actually see them. But yeah, they've got all the talent in the world. I think they've been very unfortunate. They've been almost Mets-like with the injuries they've been beset by, particularly to their pitching. You know, they've traded for all those pitchers. They haven't been what they want. Clevenger's been out injured. Darvish hasn't been quite the ace that they were expecting. You know, there's been a lot of that. And Blake Snell, of course, the first half of the season was truly dreadful. So, but I do understand there seems to be quite a few questions about chemistry and about whether the manager, the front office, whoever it is, whether they are getting the best out of the assets that they clearly have available to them. I think that's a very fair question to ask. Go on, you're better at this kind of thing. What do you think, JG?
Well, we both had a chance to look at an article that was written in the San Diego Union-Tribune, which I thought was a real eye-opener. And it was talking about the issues. And they were discussing the fact that there's a number of players that obviously don't feel that the manager, Tingler, of course, was named manager of the Padres back in 2019, has the sort of gravitas, has the experience. They wanted a more veteran manager. A lot of people are saying that mashup between Tatis and Manny Mercado wouldn't have happened if a stronger manager, he would have stamped on that a long time ago, et cetera, et cetera. I personally can't help but go back to August 2020, Jimbo. As we know, Tingler publicly, and this was only his second season, his first season, in fact, it was October 19 he signed up. So his first season, he publicly criticised Tatis Jr., who is the superstar, but at the time was, 21 years old, of breaking the unwritten rule of baseball when he hit that grand slam. You remember he hit a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch while the Padres were leading the Rangers?
Yeah.
You remember that? And he publicly, and this was something that La Russa did this season, I worry that if you go back to that, given that the problems very much seem to be centered around their superstar Tatis, in terms of attitude, in terms of discontent, I can't help but it seems too much of a coincidence that maybe as a result of what he did, that manager, those two just are not seeing eye to eye, that there is a breakdown in that relationship. And when you consider the importance of Tatis, who is the superstar of that side and is single-handedly trying to carry them out of this slump, my worry is that relationship is broken. And therefore, whether or not Tingler deserves to be fired, and there's a big question about whether he actually will be, because the general manager is a massive mate of his, AJ Preller, GM of the Padres, was with they both were at the Texas Rangers together, and he signed him up, as we know, back in 2019. Very hard to see him pulling the plug on his mate. So it's a massive problem, because if those two are not seeing eye to eye, if those two are not pulling in the same direction, and certainly from my research, that seems to be a key part of the problem, well, then everyone else is struggling. And I also worry that when you consider it, they were obviously going off the boil around the trade deadline, that the one thing we did hear about, I think they were trying to trade Hosmer. Was one of the things they were looking to do, which I don't think went down well with the team. It didn't happen in the end, but it was known that they were putting him up as a possible trade bait. And I think a lot of people felt that they didn't make any moves themselves, significant moves, that might have helped them where they needed help. Do you feel any of those points are valid?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, I say Johnny Gould's Leadership and Management Coaching Series is available there on a podcast near you. Any trouble with any of your team? Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Tatis is the superstar and you're trying to get the best out of him. But, you know, so's Mercado. You know, there are plenty of other very, very, very good players in that lineup. It's not just all about Tatis.
Manny Mercado said to it, by the way, in the dugout. That was literally his exact words. It's not all about you. So that's and I mean, all credit to Manny Mercado as a veteran leader, that he was trying to sort of take this youngster and say, look, you need to understand about what it takes to be a proper leader and pull in the same direction as everyone else. It's not all about you. Really interesting that. I mean, you sort of feel when nobody questions Tatis' skill set and his incredible talent, but perhaps he is still rather immature, and there is
he's a young guy and he's a young superstar and he's going to be, you know, incredibly world famous, you know, and then the face along with, you know, Ronnie Acuna and a few others, you know, the face of baseball for the next 10 years. So yeah. It's pretty tough, but I do think bad luck's played a bit of a role in there. And yeah, the nature of, yeah, if they got the right manager for the right team, I don't know. I mean, it'd be good to hear from some Padres fans. Drop us a note on what you think. Are we being unfair? Is it just bad luck? Are you in the wrong division? I don't know. Do you play too late at night? That's my biggest problem with the Padres, if I'm honest, that we can never get to actually watch them.
Put your head on the block. Are they done? Are they not going to make the wild card?
No.
No. Okay. Unfortunately, I agree with it, which I think is a real shame, because I would love to see Tatis and the likes of Mercado out there. Anyway, let's look elsewhere in the National League. Dodgers and Giants still in what is a titanic battle for the NL West. And my respect for the Giants hanging tough for a whole season with the monster truck that is the Dodgers. I mean, just amazing. As we know, the Braves, there's a similarly exciting but not nearly as impressive race going on in the NL East, because at the end of the day, they're all just over 500. So it's a pretty woeful season for all of them. But they're still holding off the Phillies. As we know, the Braves lost 2 out of 3 against the Rockies the weekend, which certainly didn't help. The Brewers still comfortably ahead in the NL Central. They're going to win that, which, of course, I tipped. Yes, baby. Now, many of you out there, AL fans, and I do want to give a little wrench to the AL, Jimbo, because we know how many Red Sox fans there are in the UK. Certainly, if Channel 5 Baseball, all those years ago's research they need to go by, they are the number one side in terms of support here in the UK. So they have totally and utterly come back to life. They had a slump, they were falling out of the race, and then bang, they seem to have rediscovered their mojo. How excited are you about this?
I think it's great. And like I said, I would say probably half the comments we get are from, certainly Giants and Red Sox fans this year have dominated the behind home plate inbox. But we talked so much about them in the first half of this season. We talked much less about them this season. But suddenly, bang, yeah, the Blue Jays surge that we talked about last week seems to have absolutely brought a response from the Red Sox. They're now on a 7-game win streak themselves. They now lead the wild card race. And actually, just the titanic tussle between the Red Sox, the Yankees and the Blue Jays, 2 games separate them, and just 2 of those three teams will make it into the playoffs as the wildcard teams. Just brilliant for baseball.
Jibbo, obviously from a fantasy perspective, these close wildcard races is exactly what we fantasy baseball managers want to see.
100%. Teams in titanic tussles are going to play their best players. So if you're in a fantasy playoffs, you don't want to find that your key starter is rested or only doing three innings because your team's already, because his actual real baseball team's already in the playoffs. We want people putting out, you know, somebody's got a bit of a gammy knee. If you're only half a game out of the wild card, he's going in the lineup that night. You're not going to rest him. So absolutely, for us, it's brilliant. These close races in the National League West and the American League East in particular, brilliant for fantasy baseball managers.
And we should say congratulations to the Rays, the first AL team to qualify for the playoffs this year. Well done, the Rays. White Sox pretty much clinched the Central, as we know. I'm trying to remember who tipped the White Sox. Oh, yeah, that was me, to win the Central. In fact, I tipped them to go all the way to the World Series. But Houston, looking to be a big threat in the postseason, gone 8-2 in the last 10, almost like flown under the radar. They now have an 8-game lead over Oakland, who saw that coming, and Seattle, who have battled hard in the AL West. And obviously, I promise we will talk properly about all the playoff teams in the first week of the season.
It is interesting because we've had a couple of White Sox fans get in touch this week. So I was like, we know you want your team to get more credit, and particularly from us, we haven't talked as much about them as we did. We did talk a lot before the season. I promise that we will talk about them, but also a reminder that, you know, as John has just said, you know, Johnny did tip the White Sox to win the World Series. So, you know,
I didn't tip them to win it. I said to get there. Because the team I tipped to win the World Series, of course, hasn't got a hope, and that's the Atlanta Braves, because obviously, having lost Ronald and having all the injury problems we've had, no, I've completely and utterly changed since the beginning of that season. But no, I tipped the White Sox to win the AL Championship, so I've been a big fan, and I mean, very interesting, because talking about them on the Johnny and Josh show, and one of the points made was that they've gone off the boil, whereas Houston are really ramping it up, Boston are ramping it up, Blue Jays are ramping it up. These are form teams, and the concern was that the White Sox are sort of limping over the line. I mean, my view is that their division is so weak that inevitably they've gone a bit off the boil because the majority of the competition they're facing isn't particularly good. But I think they're so good that they would definitively raise their game when they start to play playoff teams.
You hope so if you're a White Sox fan, but it does remind me of the Braves, actually, when we went on that sensational sort of league win. You know, how many years did we win the National League East? So many seasons we'd clinched in like the first or second week of September and were miles clear. And absolutely, you could just sense this feeling of deflation. And, you know, the Braves famously, you know, really struggled to often get out the first round of the playoffs, having dominated the regular season. And I think some of that was exactly that. They hadn't played competitive baseball for 2 or 3 weeks. And yeah, I do think that's a worry for the White Sox. They've got the talent, they've got the players, they've got the pitch, and they've got the bullpen. But they are going to have to absolutely try to just really get their heads focused in the last week of the regular season.
So to all our White Sox fans out there, I've been on your boat. I've been backing your boys since day one. Although, given the fact that I'm known as Johnny the Jinx, I would have thought you wouldn't want me to be backing your team, let alone talking about them. Anyway, let's move it on. Banner number two, race to 50. And we are giving it its own space this week, Jimbo. Some exciting things are happening in the behind home plate race to 50. Of course, quick reminder for our listeners, we talked about whether anybody was going to reach 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. I said no, not to both. I said I thought the 50 stolen bases would be reached, but I didn't think the 50 home runs would be reached. And yet, Jimbo, neither have been reached as yet, but some are closing in rapidly. Let's talk about the bats first of all and 50 home runs. What's the latest?
It's all kicking off big time, actually. So last week said how Vlad was back with a bang with 5 home runs. But actually now your favourite, Sal Perez, is hitting back.
Literally
hitting back. So 3 home runs for Sal this week, and he now shares the major league lead with Vlad on 46 home runs. So Sal Perez on 46, Vlad Jr. on 46, Shohei on 45. They've each got, how many games? 10, 11 games left. So still, I don't know, 50-50 that somebody will get to 50 home runs by next Sunday.
Need a home run every other game, basically. And one surprising name that we've not even given a mention at any stage, who seems to have surged into, well, not into this race, but on the tail of the front runners, and that's Marcus Semien of the Toronto Blue Jays on 41 home runs. 2 more in the past week. And that's certainly going to help his off-season free agency signing bonus, I'm thinking, Jimbo. No coincidence that he's swinging a hot bat.
Well, people often talk, don't they? Yeah, people in, you know, players in contract years, and you know, what could they do to? But yeah, he has absolutely helped his cause no end. And I have to say, that's, you know, we've often talked about the stellar class of shortstops. They're going to be available in free agency this year. Marcus Semien really showing he belongs. So go on, I've a question for you. So you've got Corey Seager, you've got Trevor Story, you've got Javier Baez, you've got Carlos Correa, and you've got Marcus Semien. All of that, you would have had Lindor, but obviously he's been signed by the Mets. So you've got all of those guys, Corey Seager, Trevor Story, Javier Baez, Carlos Correa, Marcus Semien. Say the Braves lost Dansby Swanson for the season, I don't know. Who would you want of those names, free agency and on your fantasy team?
Gosh, that's a tough one. Well, Carlos Correa, I was convinced, was going to have a much better season this year than they had of late, and hasn't been that bad at all, been half decent. I sort of rather like Marcus Semien. I think that would be my bash, because with his power potential in the middle of the order, my worry is, will Austin Riley be able to reproduce the season he's just done? And he's been batting fourth. I'm not 100% sure that he's a shoo-in to repeat the numbers he's done this season. So I would like the idea of having somebody else who's got that sort of power potential, but particularly if we're going to continue to lead off with Ronald at the top of the order. You know, I just think we need that. You know, obviously Osuna has been missing for a reason, but you know, the success we had last season was very much down to the fact that we had such a big power hitter in the heart of the order. And I think that's really important to bring out the best of everybody else.
Okay, right. So you're taking Semien. Fine. And I think it'd be a good choice. I think Story's interesting. I think the worry for Story, Trevor Story, is taking him out, of course. I think he'd be quite interesting as Texas, isn't he? He's a Texas boy, and at the start of their rebuild, I think that'd be quite interesting. If I had to pick one, though, Corey Seager for me, he's just such a metronomic batting average presence. I think we still underrate him for fantasy. I know he's been injured this year. That's why I'd take Corey Seager. Just that just gets on base, does his stuff, knocks people in. Just very, very solid, high quality baseball player.
Don't get me wrong, great player, but he's quite old, isn't he? Isn't he about 32?
Corey Seager.
No. Is he younger than that? Am I thinking of the wrong person?
You're thinking of Kyle. His brother. Seattle third baseman, who we did think about getting into the Braves, you know, instead of Austin Riley, who I think will be fine, by the way. I'm a big Austin Riley fan. So that's fine. You can have Marcus Semien. I will have Corey Seager on our fantasy teams, and we'll carry on. So.
Okay. We'll see. And you'll win again. Okay. Right. Stolen base race to 50. What's the latest?
It's all gone quiet there. So the action has all been about home runs, because actually Starling Marte stayed on 45, Whit Merrifield stayed on 40. Neither of them have got a stolen base in the last week. So unless Marte is really going to get his wheels on and get five steals in the next 10 days, looking like we won't make the 50 stolen base plateau.
But hey. Buddy, now you mentioned Whit Merrifield. You know I write an article every 2 weeks for a sporting syndicate's newsletter. And this week I was doing, because it was the anniversary of Cal Ripken Jr. bringing the streak to the end.
Yeah.
In 1998, September the 20th, he turned up at the manager's office and said, you know what, I think I'll sit tonight's game out. And of course, the streak ended at 2,632. Whit Merrifield is the leader, active leader in baseball right now. And how many games do you think he's played in history?
I had no idea about that. Yep. Oh, God.
Kansas City Royals, 455, mate. 455. So all he's got to do is repeat Lou Gehrig's streak, which is number two all time, to catch Cal Ripken Jr. That's in the region of 12 to 13 seasons of baseball. He's 32 now, so he's going to have to play 162 games a year for the next 13 seasons, when he'll be 45. So unless Whit discovers the elixir of youth, I think we could safely say it's not going to happen.
But I did not know that. That's actually an interesting fact for me.
Did you like that?
Thank you. Okay.
Now, Starling Marte, by the way, just before we move on from this, will be another very popular free agent this year. Where do you think he's going to end up? I'm a massive fan, by the way. I would love him to come to the Braves. But where do you think he will end up?
I don't think that's impossible, actually, at the Braves. I think depending on what they want to do, how far off. I mean, Christian Pache has been okay as a prospect, but, you know, defense first. I don't think he's shown himself to be quite ready. Presumably, Ozuna won't be coming back. So there is space in the Braves outfield. I think there's lots of options. I think he'll be a very popular player because I don't think you'll have to sort of pitch in for a six-year deal for him or anything. I think the Astros need help in the outfield. Will Oakland finally spend some money? He's been brilliant for them. Answer, probably not. But actually, if I had to pick someone, I'd say he could stay in the Bay. I think San Francisco is where I think San Francisco are going to start spending some money. The success they've had this year, some pitching looking really good. I think they need some more consistent bats. And I think, yeah, that's what I'd say. I think San Francisco Giants, Starling Marte would do a fantastic fit together.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's move it on. Batter number three. It is, of course, the suitcase where we asked James to pick out some players that are rostered in 20% or less of an average ESPN fantasy baseball league. Who are you packing this week, Jimbo?
Who am I packing? Lots of people. As I say, we had somebody get in touch with us actually about the suitcase, which I thought was good.
Mr. Nick Wilson Smith, by any chance?
He was. Yes. Go on.
I've got that, buddy. Let me take care of that one. Listener Nick Wilson Smith got in touch with us via Twitter. This is what he wrote. Just caught up with the latest BHP pod. Excellent as always. Love that. By the way, I should just intercede here. Nick and anyone else, you don't have to say that to get rid out, but it does help. I'm not going to lie. Nick goes on to say, I've made the final in my league. So cheers for all the tips, hoping it leads me to glory. So first and foremost, Nicholas, best of luck and huge congratulations. And hopefully you're listening in this week. And maybe, Jimbo, you've got some hitters that might just drive him over the line.
Yeah, there we are. See, I kind of quite like this idea of, you know, almost the suitcase sponsored by a different listener each week in playoff agony and need. So that's all good. So hitters, I'll motor quickly through these. So not much in the infield. I think you'll have to wait. You'll have to wait for the Hail Mary for that. Outfielders, catcher and outfield, Dalton Varsho, he's a regular in the suitcase, another home run and stolen base this week. He plays every day. Arizona been better of late. The big one I want to point out, outfielder Jesus Sanchez of Miami. It's his second week in the suitcase, and he's had a fab week since we mentioned him last week.
Well, Jimbo, I've got to tip my hat. I mean, I think this is one of your very best suitcase picks. Six runs, three home runs, seven RBIs since you suggested him last week. And obviously, we will be spending a large chunk of the offseason discussing all of the Hail Marys as suitcase picks that Jimbo got disastrously wrong, not just the ones that he's got unbelievably right. Actually, we should do that. We should have like a best of and a worst of. We should pick a few out.
Yeah, it's good because I appreciate, yes, that is one that worked, but there are plenty who have just, you know, gone down in flames throughout the season. So, yeah, a couple of, if Jesus Sanchez isn't available in your league, a couple of less rostered players who at least are playing and sort of hitting okay, Victor Reyes of Detroit and outfielder Sam Hilliard of Colorado. Colorado at home for the next 7 days, and he at the moment is swinging at least a moderately warm bat.
Okay, some pitchers, as always. Possibly the worst season ever to find decent SPs out there to stream in your fantasy baseball league.
Have to agree with that. There's one out there I'd definitely look at. So that's Shane Baz of Tampa Bay, arguably the best pitching prospect in the minors. They brought him up last week. He made one decent start, was pretty good. And actually, his second start is lining up to be at home on Sunday in Tampa Bay against the Marlins. You know, which is about as good as it gets. So, I'd be all over that.
Are the Marlin management letting him go five innings?
The Rays management, yes.
Against the Marlins.
I'm more conscious every time. Yes, the Marlins are a wonderful team because I'm sure, UK Marlins mega fan Pete Pratt will be in touch to say don't diss the Marlins. But we have just said how good Jesus Sanchez is. But yeah, Stribby against the Marlins, always a good idea. And if you've got Shane Baz available in your league, I would definitely look at that. Otherwise, stick with your relievers. There are still lots of relievers out there getting great ratios, better good than most starters.
Talking of relievers, you got any for the suitcase?
Closers for us. Michael Fulmer, looks like he's going to be the Detroit closer for the rest of the season. He's got three saves this week. Michael Givens in Cincinnati got another save. Joe Barlow at Texas, he's still the closer there. And Andrew Chaffin looks like he's the closer at the moment in Oakland. All of those guys rostered in 15% or less of leagues.
I know it's pathetically immature of me, but I do love this name, Andrew Chaffin. It sounds like you know, something painful. Anyway, something you need some.
He is a legend on Twitter. We've mentioned it before, but yeah, do follow Andrew Chaffin on Twitter. He's hilarious and just a very alternative lifestyle. And yeah, just yeah, since he moved from Chicago to Oakland, and just asking for tweet, you know, anyone hints for where you can hire a boat to just head into the bay. And, I don't know. Yeah, just seems like a real character.
Brilliant stuff. All right, well, the Hail Mary. Again, quick reminder for our listeners, this is where we ask James to find us players that are rostered in less than 1% of an average ESPN fantasy baseball league. And of course, that's massive pressure on Jimbo week after week. Because, I mean, if they're rostered in less than 1%, then basically most fantasy baseball managers think they're useless. But Jimbo seems to find these little hidden gems. Who have you got this week?
Yeah, I'm all right with this week's, actually. So, I mean, I know you've only got 10 days left, but still, if you needed somebody, I'm quite interested in Nick Gordon of Minnesota. So shortstop, second base, outfield eligible. So covers quite a few different bases, literally, which is really helpful. He's playing every day. He's only rostered in 1% of leagues and he's hot at the moment. So yeah, he's got 2 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 7 RBI in the last 2 weeks. Do not tell me that could not have helped your fantasy team if he'd been on it. So yeah, have a look at Nick Gordon of Minnesota.
Okay. And multi-position. Love that. Shortstop, second base, outfielder. Great stuff. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for. A quick reminder of how you can get in touch. You can email us on behindhomepagepod@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter @BHPpod or on directly @JohnnyMGould or @Jam99. Massive thanks as always to you, Jim. I know you've taken time out from work and your family commitments and everything else, as always, to write the scripts and to perform. And you are an absolute legend. Do keep the questions coming in. Jimbo wants to obviously keep that interaction going as much as possible, and we will mention you on the show if you get in touch, so please do take advantage of that via the email or the Twitter handles. I'll obviously be back on the Johnny and Josh show at the weekend, so I look forward to having your company for that as well. Jimbo, we will be back on Behind Home Plate for our predictions for the MVP, Cy Young races, check up on the race for 50, loads to look forward to. You got anything exciting happening this week, Jim?
No, I'm glad because you didn't ask me that last week. And I spent a weekend of such spectacularly London-centred culture that you would have ribbed me mercilessly for. And you missed the opportunity. So, yeah, this week I'm just done.
Is that posh thing down in the river?
Yeah. So I was at the Henley Festival in black tie. I was at a concert at the Royal Festival Hall. You'd have absolutely had a field day with my with my activities that did not reflect the man in the street last weekend.
So hang on, if you're at Henley in black tie, you were a waiter, were you? You weren't actually just, you know.
Exactly, that'd be more. Actually, that's my best job ever. Was my we could do a whole show on the many jobs that I've been either a barman or a waiter for, and how much satisfaction I've had in all of those. Deep pan pizza in Newcastle as a student. That was the highlight, I think, of my working career, I would say.
So. Okay, mate. Well, then we should have that discussion. We could do a whole new podcast.
What about you? Who's
making the tea? Making the tea in a building site in Windsor. That was one that I did for about 7 weeks. Sorry, in the summer of 1983. I've been a doorman. I've been a decorator. I've been security guard at the Olympia boat show, and I did an art thing at Olympia as well, and I was the only one who was meant to stay awake. We had a Matisse, or was it a Van Gogh, that was worth multi-millions, and I volunteered on that particular night that I'd be the security guard who didn't get any kip because the Super Bowl was on. So I smuggled in a small TV, you can imagine how long ago it was, and guess what, fell asleep, woke up at 6 o'clock to the sound of the cleaners banging on the door, ran off to see if the Van Gogh was still there.
Yeah, I was going to say that the sound of the Van Gogh being put in the back of a van and hitting out the door.
But what was so hilarious, no one woke up, so I opened up the door, let the cleaners in, went round, woke everyone else up. They were never the wiser, mate. No one knew that I'd slept like a baby
until now, that we realized that whoever had insured that £30 million piece of art knows that. Yeah, never
absolutely.
Again, absolutely. JG's one man security. Yeah,
mate. So, when it comes to jobs, odd jobs that we have had, if we're playing top trumps, I'm beating you every time.
No, probably. Well, we're done at the time, Okay. My farming life. Right, I'm done. I'm out of here. But thank you, as always, a pleasure.
Fantastic stuff. And thank you for listening. You've been in the best seat in the house when it comes to fantasy baseball. Behind home plate. Till next week, stay safe, stay well.